down in the art scene in Central Maine. But we get it underway by welcoming to the show someone you know undoubtedly from his countless appearances on television, films, every podcast in America, I think. Very talented actor and comedian Paul F. Tompkins joins us. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Rich, thank you for having me. And just a minor correction, my television appearances are countable, but please don't count them.
Oh, all right. I'll set those aside, give them a separate column.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, I am so excited for this show you're bringing to the Waldo Theater April 30th. Varietopia. I know it's a show you've been doing in L.A. and are taking out on the road. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, I've always loved variety shows. I grew up with them when I was a kid, and then they kind of went away. You don't really see them on TV anymore, and every once in a while they try it, but it just doesn't stick, and I don't know why. I think it's a really fun format. And so, essentially, I'm just doing, taking an existing classic format and just filling it in with modern music and comedy and whatever else we can get on a stage.
And I understand you may have some special guests who are part of this adventure as well?
Yes, indeed. We never reveal who the guests are because our feeling is the show is the star. So, but the idea is you got to trust me that this is going to be a great show. And sometimes it's the people that you know very well, and it's an exciting surprise to see them. I there's no better feeling for me than introducing a guest and hearing the love from the audience. They didn't know that person was going to be there, and they're thrilled to see them.
Well, I have to tell you, I have such respect and a little bit of jealousy for the career that you've put together, because yeah, I've done some improv, but at a very low level. Clearly, that's why I'm sitting here in Bangor, Maine, talking on the radio. But you have done such an amazing job of combining elements of improv, of stand-up, acting, and you've created this niche that I think belongs pretty much just to you.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I do feel like I have had a really wonderful career, and as much as our business is has a an undercoating of jealousy that we polish up with a nice coat of paint. As many things as I didn't get to do, I do have to remind myself I've gotten to do a lot of really fun things, and I've made my little kid dreams come true. And I have gotten to indulge kind of every sort of avenue of my own creativity, and that in itself is a real win. That's something that I'm very proud of and very happy to have been able to make happen.
Podcasting has gone crazy in the last few years, but I feel like in many ways that might be the best showcase of your skill set, because it allows you to do so many different things.
Yeah, what I love the medium of podcasting, and I have since it really became a thing, and the possibilities are endless. I love the theater of the mind aspect of it. So, improv or scripted stuff really is such a great place for that. And, you really can do whatever you want and put it up online, and, people can find it if they want to. And I think that's the most wonderful thing about it, is that it's such a democratic medium, that there's no gatekeepers. Literally anyone can do a podcast and put it out there. And literally anyone could find it, there's an audience for everybody. And I hope it stays that way. I hope it will always remain an avenue that's open to absolutely everybody who wants to be creative.
I loved Dead Authors. That was such a great format. And having H.G. Wells introduce and talk with those guests was absolutely fabulous.
Thank you so much. That's one of my favorites. The idea being that, H.G. Wells really did have a time machine, and he can use it to bring now deceased authors into the present and interview them. And it was such a great venue for improv. And it made me appreciate how amazing my guests were, because, they didn't have to know anything about the author. And the way that it was set up was me as the host and character as H.G. Wells, I would provide the facts. They didn't have to do homework on the author. And I would provide the facts, things that actually happened. and put that in a question so that they could say literally anything they wanted to say and be as silly and insane as they wanted to be. And it was a blast. And then I did it once where I was the guest. I had my friend Matt Gourley portray Carl Sagan, who was guest hosting for H.G. Wells, and I played Mark Twain. And, man, it gave me such a new respect for all the people that I'd had guests on the show, because it's hard. People are, you know, somebody's throwing questions at you, and you have to immediately come up with an answer and make it funny. And, you know, I really, it was a blast. It was a scary, scary, fun thing to do.
And then I think it started during COVID, but Stay Up Homekins. And I say this, not tongue in cheek, but because it, you may have it, but it doesn't always translate. You and your wife have a great chemistry together.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that. We were locked down and we really didn't know what to do with ourselves. And we started this podcast. It was a weekly thing. And it was a really nice way for us to spend some time to connect with each other and not just be scrolling on our phones or watching TV or whatever, because, you know, you get bored and restless when it's a snow day that lasts an entire year. Hearing from other people was so wonderful. To know that we were connecting with other people and they were connecting with us was really comforting in a weird, weird time. And so we just kept doing it. We do it monthly still. And occasionally we put out things like where we'll watch a movie together and record commentaries we're doing it that, you know, people can then download and essentially watch a movie along with us.
We're talking with Paul F. Tompkins here on Downtown. He'll be at the Waldo Theater April 30th with his show Varietopia. I read a recent interview you did, Paul, and you talked about going through therapy and how that's helped you, but you also had that resistance that I think a lot of performers, and especially comedians, have, the worry that, boy, if you get things figured out in your life, maybe you won't be as funny.
Yes, I think that is also a specific thing that performers can tell themselves, and it really is just the fear that everybody has of therapy. It's an unknown thing. You don't know what you're going to uncover about your own life or your own psyche or your own personality or whatever. And really the reality is, you know, you're just going to learn the reasons why you maybe have bad patterns in your life or unsatisfying patterns in your life or what things that make you sad or things that are kind of in your way that prevent you from doing things that you want to do. And I think that everybody can benefit from it. It's just the unknown. You build it up in your mind that it's going to be some scary thing, and it's really not scary at all. It's, in fact, very, very comforting, very freeing.
Did that therapy open some doors for you in terms of your comedy and then give you the freedom to talk about things that you might not have brought into your act before?
It absolutely did. It really made me it honed my empathy in a way that I didn't realize I needed, and it made me look at people because I was looking at myself in a much more human way. I was realizing how much the same we all are. And it made me approach topics in my stand-up, you know, stories I might tell that I would think, well, this is kind of unrelatable. And then I would think, well, okay, what's the emotion behind this story? What am I feeling in this story? Whether it's a story of me being humiliated or anxious or, you know, wrong about something, and realizing everybody's had an experience like this. So if I couch it in, here's what I was feeling, then people can relate to it no matter what it is. So whether it's me telling a story from working at a retail job or me being on a movie set, you know, it doesn't matter the location, the feelings are the feelings. And, you know, being able to feel that connection with an audience through stand-up like that was such a great feeling. And, you know, I really love that more than anything. It's deeper sometimes than other times. Sometimes, it, you know, we're all always striving for transcendence, you know, when we're doing our sets. Mm. And when you can reach that moment and feel that deep connection with, you know, a crowd of strangers and know that they feel a connection to you, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Well, and you mentioned empathy, and I think that's the key, not just in comedy, but I think in connecting with people through any art form. Have you read Cliff Nesterhoff's new book, Outrageous?
No, I'm a fan of Cliff's. I have not read the book yet.
We had him on a few weeks ago, and it's a great book, and he talks about cancel culture and this idea that you can't say anything anymore, and then pretty much disproves it and shows how, hey, you know what? Today, people don't go to jail like Lenny Bruce and others did along the way. But to me, it's the idea, too, that there are people out there in the comedy world that seem to find success by punching down. And I always thought the best comedy goes the other way.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, the reason that Lenny Bruce went to jail, first of all, he wasn't hurting anybody. There was nothing harmful in anything that he was saying. You know, obviously, the words he used, we don't use today in casual conversation, even in like hip clubs. But he had, his intention was to go after the people in power, and he offended their sensibilities, and they jailed him because they didn't like what he had to say. He was flouting their, you know, hypocrisies or their ridiculousness in their faces. They didn't like it, and they put him in jail. Now there's the idea that, you can't say anything anymore. Who are the people that are saying you can't say these things? It is people from marginalized groups saying, this is harmful, and we don't like this, and it's insulting, and it's, you know, it, you're using slurs, you are, you're essentially doing something that's no better than a minstrel show was many years ago. You are exploiting other people for cheap laughs. It's bullying. It's not funny. And the bully saying, oh, I'm not allowed to say anything anymore, while they are just saying the things they want to say, is the height of hypocrisy, and it underscores what a bully really is.
Well said. What's your relationship right now with stand-up, Paul?
Well, you know, I took a long break from it. I got into improv for a while, learning a new skill, and that was so exciting and so interesting that, I didn't do a whole lot of stand-up while I was going through that process, and now feeling like in a good place with improv, not that I am an improv master. I mean, there's still, I still learn everything. I still learn something every time I go on an improv stage because I'm surrounded by so many incredibly talented people that I am trying now to get back into stand-up. And, you know, it's not like riding a bike. I'm at a different stage of life right now, and I'm trying to figure out what it is that I want to say. Who am I as a stand-up now? And, you know, I'm going through the for me painful process of figuring that out. You know, I'm still doing sets, and I'm still getting laughs, but I don't feel like in the pocket yet. You know, the only way to do it is to do it, and so I'm going to keep doing it and figure it out.
How about how do the skills from improv translate that yes and mentality?
Oh, I mean, that's always useful on stage. It's always useful on stage, especially when you're doing new material. And that's a shared link between improv and stand-up, is you're monitoring the room, you're aware of how well you're doing, you're keenly aware of every sort of noise, silence, distraction that's in the room. Your brain is doing a million things at once, processing a million things at once while you're still talking. So, you have to be aware of the peaks and valleys. You have to be aware of, okay, it's been a long time without a laugh here, or what feels like a long time. I need to throw something in here. Also, it's the yes-ending yourself, saying, okay, that got a laugh. I'm going to follow that thread and see what I come up with. I have notes that are written down, but beyond those notes, I have nothing. So let's see what the audience responds to, and then follow those avenues and see what comes up.
You were so great as Mr. Peanut Butter on BoJack Horseman. Any voiceover work in the near future for you?
There's always voiceover work. I feel like I've, it's hard to say because, of course, now I've recorded it months ago.
right.
You know, it will probably not come out for a few more months, but, I do a recurring voice on The Great North, which is a wonderful animated show. And Star Trek Lower Decks, I have a recurring character on that, which I'm thrilled to be a strange small part of the Star Trek universe. So yeah, that stuff comes in, and it's really fun. I mean, you know, this is like such a great time for animation I'm really thrilled that it's another place that I can go and try things out.
The unimpeachable source of Wikipedia, in talking about your stage attire, referred to you as dapper, but said you prefer foppish. Which is it?
I do not prefer foppish. That is absolutely wrong. If anything, I prefer to be called a dandy.
Oh yes, that is fabulous.
Yeah, right. It feels like there's an extreme difference between the two, and that dandy is more positive than foppish.
Yes, I would go see a dandy. Foppish, I might feel that I wouldn't fit in. I might not understand them so well.
Exactly. A dandy is welcoming, and a fop is exclusionary.
There you go. Perfect. In a nutshell, summed up by Paul F. Tompkins, who will be coming to our Waldo Theater right here in Maine. Can't wait for it. April 30th for Varietopia. Paul, love your work. Been a big fan. So great to get to talk with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, Rich, thank you so much. I can't wait to get there and do that show.
Paul F.